For the next 2 weeks, the news media spotlight will mostly focus on Congress as they try to get a continuing resolution done to keep agencies open at the end of the fiscal year, the end of this month. But the bad publicity spotlight is always ready to zero in on bad news from your agency. Dick Stiglitz is former director of defense consulting for McDonnell Douglas, and he has advice on keeping your agency out of the bad publicity headlines. Dick, it's great to have you on the program. A terrific piece in Government Executive Magazine, and we have a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. You have a list of symptoms that people should watch out for that kind of give you a clue that something bad may be about to happen. How did you develop this list, Dick? Thanks for being on the program today.
Well, it's my pleasure, Francis. Well, the list was developed from experience. I had a company that did government support services from the Reagan administration through Bush II, and it's observations of what was good leadership.
The observations come under the kinds of things that we might expect, crises of leadership and so on. Tell me, though, the most important elements that people should be paying attention to as they're leading big organizations like government agencies and even like companies that do business with government agencies and trying to stay ahead of a curve that will get thrown at you like a Department of Veterans Affairs problem or healthcare.gov.
Well, it's leadership by example. Leaders set the priorities for their organizations over a period of time, and people learn that's what's important, so that's what they do. When leaders set inappropriate priorities, things wind up on the front page of headlines. For example, in the VA, getting the schedules statistically correct so that they get their bonuses was a priority, and that was a practice that was widely practiced and widely accepted by leaders. So that became the norm.
The setting of incentives, it strikes me too, Dick, is instrumental in that because I'm just going to use the example you just did. The goals that the VA set in that particular example was a noble one. They wanted to do the right thing, but the incentives to do it and the guidelines that came along with them were not well enough defined, it seems, and that strikes me as another leadership issue.
Well, the goals and the incentives, those are standard management tools to promote the good hot top performance. On the other hand, when they cook the books, you know, we've seen things like in Enron and on the commercial side, when the documented results are more important than actual results, that's when they get in trouble. And that's when incentive programs got to be careful what we incentivize. You might incentivize the wrong things.
Yeah, you get whatever you incentivize.
You get what you incentivize, exactly.
You write in this piece under the topic of leading by example, a couple of signs that one's leadership style is working and a couple signs that it's not. And I want to talk about each of those in turn, Dick. One of them that you write about is people using your logic when they explain things to their people, and that strikes me that you're getting right at the heart of the trickle-down effect of leadership.
Exactly. One of the administrations I worked for was the Reagan administration, and I was amazed that at the low-level SESs and GS-15s, we'd start out a meeting. I'm a contractor. We'd start out a meeting by saying the president wants us to do this because. So it was amazing to me that the direction got down that level, but when they started saying this is what the president wants, that's what they mean. They were using his logic to support their actions at a low level, and that's effective leadership.
Another item you cite is people choosing to work for you and declining other opportunities, and that's the opposite of what we hear all the time about people leaving bad bosses, not leaving bad jobs. This is the opposite of that, people headed in exactly the other direction.
Well, the best example of that in my career was working at NASA during the space shoot, put a man on the moon. It was such nobody would leave that organization no matter what they got paid to do it. That's because they love being there, they love the energy of the place, they love the leadership.
The third item on your list of signs that your leadership style's working is people say success came from what they learned from you. Do you think leaders pay enough attention to how they're conveying information to people and conveying it in such a way that it's easy for other folks to understand and pass on to other folks?
Leaders sometimes fall in the trap of thinking that they want to accomplish their agenda rather than see their people be successful. Leaders who have successful people are inherently successful because of that. And, of course, when the people don't perform very well, then the leader isn't very successful. So number one is how well are your people performing? So that's what we need to focus on as a leader.
You, as I mentioned, you have kind of the converse of a couple of these, but and they're all signs that I think people may see in themselves from time to time and may not analyze. Your people stop their conversation when you approach. Your people avoid delicate, controversial subjects. Your turnover rate's higher than average. Those are all things that may appear to be anecdotal on the surface, but they look it, from reading your piece in Government Executive Magazine, like puzzle pieces, and when you put them together, they make a picture that's not very flattering.
Yes, that's the elephant on the table.
Yeah.
Your people avoid delicate and controversial subjects. People know that the behavior is unacceptable, like in the VA case of manipulating the schedules and having off-the-book schedules. They knew wasn't right, but everybody ignored it and let it go by.
Dick Stiglitz is a business consultant and author of Taming the Dragons of Change, and he is a former director of defense consulting at McDonnell Douglas, and you can find a link to his piece at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. You write that as a leader, you impact people in three dimensions: intellectually, behaviorally, and emotionally. How does a leader impact people intellectually, Dick?
Well, intellectually is the priorities that you consider and the possibilities you help people see. That phase of leadership gets a lot of attention. And behavior is getting a lot of attention in the press these days. It's the emotional factor that sometimes gets overlooked. How does a leader make his or her people feel? When they feel good about themselves and the organization, the performance rises. And the reverse, of course, is true.
Now, that can be as simple, I imagine, as, hey, you team are doing a terrific job, but it's probably not just that simple. There's probably a lot more complexity there, too, as well.
Absolutely. There's a whole bunch of things that come into the emotional side of making a person feel good about their job. It's essential to leadership. Emotional impact is essential to leadership because if you're frustrating people, annoying or angering them, your ideas aren't going to get implemented.
It's an interesting aspect of leadership for federal agencies right now, too, because one of the knocks on the generation of employees that agencies are trying to attract is that they have an outsized sense of value and achievement because everybody's been telling them since they were very young that everything they did was great. You did a great job. One of my colleagues calls it the good job Jason syndrome. But there is a balance there between doing it appropriately and going overboard.
Yes. Leaders who tend to be older and more experienced, but possibly also from a different generation from the younger workers, have a different set of priorities of what's important to them in terms of values, a different way of working with people, different standards in those kind of areas. And that affects people emotionally. That's what I mean by that third phase, the intellectually, the behaviorally, and the emotionally.
And that takes me to a point that you make earlier in the piece, Dick, and I think is really important, and that is the importance of good leaders who build people up and not tear them down. Everybody's had the nightmare boss from at one point or other in their careers, but it's a little bit harder to identify the traits as a leader that you should make sure you're instilling in the people below you, I guess.
Yes, I remember when I was in a CEO's group, and one of the CEOs, maybe it was myself, was complaining about the performance of a person, and the response was always, well, who hired them, who trained them, and who is continuing to have them on the staff? So it all goes back to the leader.